On July 5th, Americans rejoiced when the U.S. women won the World Cup, beating out 23 teams for soccer's greatest prize. But at the same time, in Chiang Mai, Thailand, another American team was competing for victory. But instead of taking on 23 teams, this one took on 103 other countries. And they won. For the first time since 1994, six American teenagers won the International Mathematical Olympiad, edging out frontrunner China in a grueling battle of the minds. And joining us to talk about their victory are two members of the team, 18-year-old Ryan Allweiss from New Jersey. Ryan, welcome.
Hello, thanks for welcoming me.
And 18-year-old Yang Lu from St. Louis. Yang, welcome to you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Also with us is their coach, Po Shen Lo, who joins us from Seattle. Po Shen, welcome to Here and Now as well.
Hello. Thanks very much.
So first of all, gentlemen, if I can say congratulations on your triumph. We're all very proud of you. But what does it feel like to be world champion mathematicians?
So the moment we found out that we won, most of the U.S. team was downstairs in the lobby of our hotel. So what happens is, right after they finish deciding all the results, the IMO people upload them all on IMO Official. So we checked the page, we refreshed it a bunch of times, finally it showed up, we clicked country results, USA was on top. We all just started screaming and yelling that the U.S. won. So it felt pretty amazing.
And amazing because, I mean, did it surprise you or did you have confidence that you could
win?
So
we heard some rumors that we did very strong on day one because, like, it's a two-day contest. We also heard that our day two is maybe not as strong. So we thought it would be close. But seeing the confirmation and our name on top of the scoreboard was really special.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great victory. Po Shen, may I ask you, for people who aren't familiar with the Mathematical Olympiad, I mean, what did your team need to do to win?
Absolutely. So what they had to do is they had to solve just a few questions, six questions, and they had 9 hours to do so. The only catch is that in order to solve any one of them, you do have to be a little bit of a genius. So in some sense, there are many countries in the world who even struggle to solve just a few. In the United States, we're fortunate to have a fairly strong mathematical program and the Math Association of America. So I would say that in order to solve these questions, in some sense, one doesn't need to know too much advanced math beyond what's in high school. In fact, you don't even need to know calculus. But you have to think much harder about that math. And the analogy I often give to help listeners understand what's going on is that when you look at Olympic sprinters, in some sense, they're just running. My kids know how to run. But there's a lot more to running in the sense that you could actually deeply understand and even train your body how to drive far quicker, far faster than anyone who's an amateur or just a casual practitioner, so to speak.
So you said that there's six problems, right?
Yes.
And is it done by sort of rounds or do the teams have to solve all six problems and then you find out who wins?
So there are actually 2 days. Mm-hmm. So on each day, you actually have 4.5 hours and 3 of the problems. And you work independently on those on day one, and then you work independently on the next 3 on day two. And your final score as an individual is the sum of your scores across both days.
Yeah. Well, just for people listening, I thought I might read one of the problems from this year's competition just to sort of get a sense about how or what kind of challenges you faced. I've got one here. It asks you guys to determine all triples, A, B, C, of positive integers such that each of the numbers, AB minus C, BC minus A, CA minus B, is a power of 2. So what's the answer?
I'll take this one. So Ryan is saying, oh God, because in the contest, he did not find all the answers. So he's still a bit salty about this. This problem has 4 answers, excluding, like, permuting the variable. So, like, 2, 2, 2 works if all the variables are 2. 2, 2, 3 works. Or, like, if you change the order, it still works because all the variables are the same. 3, 5, 7 works. And 2, 6, 11 works. These are the 4 answers.
Is 2, 2, 2 a legitimate answer, though? Because it's asking for A, B, C. I presume that it meant 3 different integers for each triple.
No, they can be the same.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, they can be the same integer, yeah.
All right, because 222 did pop into my mind as the first answer, but that seems to be the most obvious one.
Yeah.
And how did you go about solving it?
Well, once I got this problem, I actually immediately first did the situation where 2 of the variables are equal, because I thought this, like, might jumpstart some ideas. So once I tried this, I went through some of the algebra, and I got that 222 and 223 where the only answer is when two of them are equal. So I think in general, to solve this problem, what you kind of have to do is you have to show, you have to prove that when A, B, C are all large, then they can't all be powers of two. Kind of a good way to think about this is powers of two are like, there's not too many of them. They only happen like very rarely, right? After 1024, the next one's already in the 2000s.
Right.
What you try to show is if A, B, and C are all too large, then they can't all be powers of two because powers of twos are like very spaced out.
Wow. Well, let's take a step back for a second and give listeners' brains a little bit of a break here. Ryan, I mean, how long have you loved mathematics?
For as long as I can remember.
And what is it that you love about it so much?
Oh, God. Okay. This question. All right. So it's hard to describe this to people who don't do math, but there's this sort of ineffable beauty with mathematics. It feels very good when you solve a problem. It feels like you've accessed this kind of truth. And it's very fun to try all the approaches. Some might not work, some might. So it's like a puzzle. You're working at something and you get to something.
I kind of see it like, I don't know, some sort of like digging or mining. Like, most of the time when you're digging for jewels or gold, you're kind of searching around, but you're most likely not to find anything. But like, if you start digging in the right direction, you might find that new idea. And then that's like the gem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt that the thrill that comes through a really bracing intellectual challenge, and then, of course, the discovery of the solution is kind of a unique one. But then you take that into the competition space, though, and the stakes get even higher. So, I mean, So Po Shen, I mean, how do you train for an international Olympiad like this?
Sure. Well, I should say that a lot of the training is actually done by the students themselves. Although I'm the coach, in some sense, my main objective is to attempt to inspire them as much as possible, because I feel that in this day and age where resources are everywhere on the internet, you could actually drive yourself to an extremely high level even if you didn't have an in-person coach. However, what an in-person coach hopefully can provide is some sort of inspiration to cause you to want to do this. And so my goal is actually to try to communicate to as many people as possible how interesting all of these things are to do. And at the end of the day, they will go far beyond me. For example, all of the team that have been representing the United States in the past few years are much stronger than what I am. And in some sense, it's not what I can teach them that's valuable. It's what I can maybe communicate to them about the point of what's going on that is useful.
Let's talk for a second, if we can, about who you beat, and that's China. Did that make this this victory even more sweet, or does it not really matter who you beat and just the fact that you won?
China's been the perennial winner of the IMO. They lost in, I think, 2003, 2007, and 2012. But other than that, they've won basically every IMO in recent memory. So winning the IMO, in our minds, is kind of equivalent to beating China, because it's extremely unlikely that we'll beat China and then some other country will beat China and then also beat us. So in our mind, sort of winning the IMO and beating China go hand in hand, because China always, quote unquote, always wins.
But I mean, I guess I'm cheating, right? Because I overheard you guys say earlier that you've had interview requests from Chinese media.
Yeah, I can take that one. So it is true that after the United States IMO victory, I did get some calls from Chinese newspapers who were curious about how the United States training operated. And so I was very happy to communicate to them that in some sense, what we are doing is we're running a system where the success of the system is based on people's free choices to excel in mathematics, coupled with the fact that there are resources to learn mathematics everywhere available for free. So we've reached a certain convergence point at which I think that this free approach is going to work marvelously.
And Ryan and Yang, you're both 18. So what's coming next for you?
We're actually both going to MIT. So the other four members of the team, two are also going to college on the other side of Cambridge, and then two are going to be still in high school for another year.
Well, congratulations on that. I'm sure MIT will it looks forward to having you on campus. Well, Po Shen Lo is a professor of mathematics at Carnegie Mellon University. He's also coach of the U.S. Mathematics Olympiad team. Po Shen Lo, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
And Ryan Allweiss and Yang Liu are members of the 2015 gold medal winning team. Ryan and Yang, congratulations again, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.